The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowza Bowser Wednesday? Because God's in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, we examine the fighting of fears that Christians often deal with. One has to do with love and honor. That's not one you got to fight. But the other has to do with terror, and not in a fun way. It is helpful to understand that God has no desire to squish us, even if it feels that way from time to time. Next, understanding that fear produces, or what fear produces, may help many of us get a better grip on our need to fight fear fearlessly. By the way, I wrote that myself. Fight fear fearlessly. The results of fear shut down stuff in our lives. No one must tell us that this is God's desire for us. God doesn't want this for us. This is Satan's desire for our lives, to shut things down in our lives. And knowing this is a big part of the wisdom we need to use to have more victories. And finally, instead of theories, we need resolutions. We need the keys of the kingdom to walk in a prevailing manner. We will offer three brief answers to this continual warfare. But these are not a formula. They're just steps, actions, or movements towards a greater dependence on the Lord. And that is because a greater dependence on the Lord is the answer to every struggle.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving. Well, we do that okay. Living. Yeah, we do that every once in a while. And prevailing. Man, we're behind in that one. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That works out pretty good. Comes right to me live during the show. david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can also call us. What? Like a telephone? Yeah. 972-445-0770. You call 972-445-0770. Terrific T will answer the phone. That's terrific. And just keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation, because this is not professional radio. It's just radio. So if you have a prayer request or a praise report, you have something you want to share that the Lord's working on in your life, you have a question that doesn't have to do with how many different letter T's there are in the Bible, that would be good. Or if you have something that's a little more simplistic, we'll do our best to respond. Or if you have maybe even an answer to Bible trivia. What Bible trivia? Yes, Bible trivia. Here we go. This should be pretty easy for most of you. Let's keep it simple. Who had a Passover meal with his followers in the upper room? Who had a Passover meal with his followers in the upper room? That's a pretty straightforward and simple question. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Or you can email david@hemustincrease.org. Keep in mind our show. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and focus on the family. It's the David Spoon Experience, so buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Starting off real quickly, we want to remind you about our website. I did put a statement up there about science. You put a statement up there about science? Don't you think people will get mad at you? Yes, I think so. Don't forget to go to our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. By the way, my statement is neither positive nor negative. It is simply truthful. Aha! See how you get out of that? There's certain ways you get out of things. When you tell a young four-year-old or five-year-old something that's really not true, you know what you do when people go, isn't that a lie? You go, no, it's a joke. That was a good point. Boy, you must be getting bored from playing that one. That's a classic. Don't forget all the stuff that we got going on. We have Acts, the book of Acts tomorrow. That should be lots and lots and lots and lots of fun. Great blessing. Keep me in prayer. I'm in a wind down. I got one paper that I'm going to finish off tonight. Then I have one major paper left in this class. Just kind of giving you guys a quick update. One major paper, not it won't be the end of the class, but one major. Get that done. Then I'm down to two classes and my final project. And I think I understand what that final project is going to be. That's me hoping very loudly. Last time at the trivia, who had a Passover meal with his followers in the upper room? In the upper room. If you know the answer, 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483. Here we go. There are two kinds of fear that we typically deal with. The first one, awe, respect, appreciation, and reverence. That's what it means to fear the Lord. Awe, respect, appreciation, reverence. That's fearing the Lord. There's another type of fear that's less desirable. It's the one that has an expectation of terror, evil, or disasters. Let's be honest. Too many of us are keeping the wrong fear. Luke chapter 1, verse 69 through 74. He has raised up. This is Zechariah sharing what he had to say in regards to the forthcoming of his son John. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, and he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercies to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, an oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear. Uh-oh. What? What was that, buddy? In his prophetic word, one of the things that was declared is that we can serve God without fear. It's not the reverence of the Lord, the beginning of the wisdom. It's not the awe, the respect, the appreciation. It's the terror. And what is fear but something that's coming that's bad? That's the anticipation. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 through 19, there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. There is a difference in the fear that we need to be operating with the Lord, and it's important for you and I to understand that we get to serve the Lord without operating like every time you take a step, you're walking on eggshells. Oh, if I make a mistake, he's going to blast me. That is not how God is. That's how abusive husbands and wives are, or parents, or even siblings, or for that matter, even children. Everywhere you go, you got to be careful. I don't want to step on the eggshell and break any bones. Oh, no, that's wrong. We're supposed to serve God without fear. God does not have a desire to squish us. If God wanted to squish us, we'd be squished. You'd be done. If God had no desire to rescue you, he would have let the earth implode, explode, upload, downplode, whatever it is. He'd have let that happen. That would have happened multiple times. Look at how many nuclear arms and different bombs everybody has. It's a miracle that we haven't blown ourselves up. Are you kidding? God wants you to understand this. Before we get into the other stuff, I want you to get this first. God doesn't want you serving him with this terror or mentality of punishment and terror and, oh, you're just like, you're trembling in this, oh, everything's bad, everything's bad. That is not the way that God designed you. That is not the way that God intends you to walk with him, and that is not the way that God wants you to be. You don't wake up expecting the disaster. You know, so many people in the Christian faith have the expectation of the worst. We used to call it a WCD, worst case disease.
So what's the worst case?
And you're always thinking, this is the worst thing that happened. This is the worst. What's the best thing that can happen? How about that? Instead of operating in all that other stuff, just operate in the confidence. And I'm not talking about name it and claim it, and you guys know that. I mean, I teach about sin, I think, every single show. But the bottom line is that too many of us are operating with God like he's just got this one really big hammer or whip, and every time you make a mistake, whoosh, whoosh, it's like, that is not God. He wants you to serve him without fear. We're going to take our break and examine this in more depth. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
So I want other people's insight because I'm not the only person that knows. It could be, hey, we want to, you know, talk more about current events, or hey, we want to talk more about good places to eat in Texas, or hey, we want to talk about, you know, who's got the best pizza, or we could stop talking about food because I'm really hungry and I'm waiting to do a barbecue at my son's house tonight. So, you know, it's that kind of stuff that's going on. All right, so let's get the next trivia question in, and then we'll go from there. The next trivia question is a little easier question, I think, than the previous questions. How many days was Saul, before he became Paul, how many days was Saul blind in Damascus? How many days was he blind in Damascus? Ooh. So he was, remember, he was on his donkey, and then the Lord went, bam! And then he was no longer on his donkey, but on his rear side. And then he went over to Damascus. How many days was he there, and how many days was he there blind is kind of the question that we're asking, okay? All right, and then the last time I'm going to say this again, Paige, I'm really sorry. I said I want to give this word of the day sent out in honor of Pam, and I said Pam instead of Paige. Paige, I'm sorry. Yes, you imagine my wife, how many times I gotta say sorry? All right, anyway, what do we got? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear David. Happy birthday to you. This is Joy.
And this is Cordy.
You guys are you're great. I love you guys.
And we know the answer.
What's the answer to the trivia question?
Three.
That is correct. Yes. That is correct. Man, did you guys do it. You hit it out of the park. That's going to have to get captured and replayed on a regular basis. Excellent job, ladies.
You.
Oh, you're so great.
We love you and celebrate you and keep teaching.
Oh, you got it.
Okay. Yes.
God bless. Good
God
job.
Bless you.
Good job, bye-bye. Cordy. Good Thank job, Cordy. Good job, Joy. Excellent work.
Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Well, all amps are louder. Because you see, ours, normally an amp goes from 1 to 10, see? But ours, they go to 11, see? So ours are one more. They're louder, see? So you turn them all the way to 11. All the way up, they're louder.
I have saved the best for the last. Because I know almost what I am doing, but not quite.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. For those that did not know, that was a replay. It's not my birthday. It's a replay, but it's such a good one with Joanne and Cordelia that we play it every so often because it just blesses me. It's just something I love to hear. So that trivia question gets repeated. We get answers. You know, we're doing the best we can on this stuff, but sometimes you just got to laugh and smile and take it easy. Although it was really funny because I realized after listening to that clip for about the 10th time, you know what we did is we got the answer for them. Even though they were doing the happy birthday, it's like, but what's the answer? Like, that was really important. Okay. Okay, here you go. Here is a very challenging, I think, trivia question. You guys should know this, but it's still challenging. What did Jesus eat after his resurrection to prove he was not a mere phantom? That should say ghost. What did Jesus eat after his resurrection to prove that he was not a mere ghost or spirit? What did he eat? Think about what he ate. There you go. Going to leave that there. For those that are trying to figure out where that is, I will give you this hint, Luke 24. But you got to find it from there. I can't give you the rest of it. All right, now we have some, what, comedy? We have comedy or jokes? Okay. Okay, I got a couple of good ones. So do you want the two shorter ones or the one longer one? Although the one longer one, it's pretty funny. I mean, the end of it, it's cute. What do you think?
Let's go for the long one.
All right, we're going for the long one. All right, here we go. The hikers in the river, that's what this one's called. Three friends were hiking when they came upon a large raging river. They wanted to cross to get to the other side, but had no idea how. The first hiker prayed to God, and in his prayer he said, "Please, God, give me the strength to cross the river." God gave him two big arms and extra strong legs, and he was able to swim across in about 2 hours, although he almost drowned twice. The second hiker prayed to God, and his prayer said, "Please, God, give me the strength and the tools to cross the river." God gave him a rowboat, and he used it to cross to the other side in about a half hour, although he almost capsized the boat twice. The third hiker, having seen what his friends had to deal with, now prayed to God. In his prayer, he said, "Please, God, give me the strength and the tools and the intelligence to cross the river." God turned him into a woman. She looked at the map, hiked downstream about 100 yards, and walked across the bridge. Isn't that hilarious? Come on! If anybody is offended by that joke, you need to go to the bank, take out a loan, and buy a Clue. Because that, my friends, that is funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
That is funny. God turned him into a woman. She looked at the map. That's good. All right. What did Jesus eat after his resurrection to prove that he was not a ghost or a spirit? Luke 24, we'll get to that in a second. If you think you know, by the way, you can call in 972-445-0770. Just got the funniest answer with a honey bun. Oh, that's just too funny. All right, let's get into this other part right here. I want to deal with this fear element because it's important to understand what actually happens when we operate in fear. I think it's important for Christians to know. First of all, you've heard that acronym, no doubt, that fear stands for false evidence appearing real. I'll say it again. I didn't come up with it. It's not mine. Okay, I'm just saying. False evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. Fear, I'm going to say it really nice, is basically faith in the wrong direction. You think, well, how is that? Well, when you are afraid, there is an anticipation or an expectation of something happening, and that thing that's going to happen is not good. So there is a technically there is a faith element to that as well. So I want you to be aware of that. and we're gonna grab the person who's gonna do the trivia call. Just saying, but I want you to listen to this passage. And some of you are gonna get mad at me, but I love you because try and think of it in those terms. Matthew 9:29. Then Jesus touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." Jesus did not say, "According to your positive faith, let it be done to you." And he didn't say, "According to your negative faith, let it be done to you." He just said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And for people that operate in an expectation of disaster or fear, their faith is in operation. And it's according to your faith, let it be done. So think of it in those terms before we get into the real deeper part of the text. You'll understand when we get there. But first, let's let somebody answer the trivia question. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to? Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Who am I talking to?
Well, this is Paul, but I didn't hear the trivia question. I had my phone turned down. I was going to see if I could tell you a joke, but...
Oh, no, you can tell me a joke. Let me give you the trivia question, and then you can tell me a joke, okay? This is a good one. What did Jesus eat after his resurrection to prove he was not a ghost? What did he eat to prove he was not a ghost? He ate some kind of food. It wasn't steak, yeah, and it wasn't chicken. It was...
No.
What are the three big ones? Steak, chicken, and
beef.
No. Let's see. Would call some kind of filet at McDonald's that people get on Fridays.
I don't know. I'm not real sure.
I don't blame you. It's fish. That's it. He ate
fish.
A piece of fish.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. That's all right. That's
you
a good
threw
one.
Me
though.
There.
Yep. All right. So then that's in Luke 24. Okay. You got a joke for us?
Yes.
Okay. Fire away.
Okay. So this young man goes to his father and he gets his driver's license. And he asks his dad to help him buy a car. And his dad says, "Son," he says, "I don't have a problem with that." He says, "If you will get your grades up in school, if you'll start going to church more often, and if you'll get your hair cut." And he says, "Okay, Dad." So he, you know, time goes on, and he comes to his dad and he's asking him again. And he says, "Well, Dad, I've done, you know, got my grades up in school, you know, and I've started going to church more often. And, I just think I need a car." And he's like, "Well, son, yeah, you've done all that." And he says, "But, you know, I'm not real sure." And he says, "Well, you know, Dad," the son says to Dad, "you know, I've been reading the Bible, and I noticed that Moses, Jesus, all of them had long hair." He said, "Yes, sir, they did. But they walked everywhere they went."
There you go.
Yeah.
You got it. It's on your record. It's on the record. You are a professional joke teller, although we're not paying you. But you're a professional joke teller. You did it live on the radio. Nice job. Very good, my brother. I appreciate
that. Hey, man, you do a good job. I appreciate you on the air. I've been listening to you for a little over a month. You know, I was saved about a month ago, and the Holy Spirit came into my life, and he turned it completely around.
Amen, brother. That is so cool to hear. That's wonderful to hear you. And we'll keep praying for you that the Lord just keeps working with you and teaching you and guiding you and loving on you. Okay?
Yes, every day I need it.
All right, you got it. God bless you.
You too, bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I'm just trying to figure out where you can call into a Christian radio show and you can tell a joke. It's like, I'm waiting for the Lord to go, I'm waiting for him to visit me in my room and go, "What are you doing?" You know what I'm saying? That's what's going to happen. All right, let me just tell you, this thing about fear. I want you to be aware of this. It's really kind of important. So I'm going to read it and kind of zap to it. We might kind of do it a little bit in the next segment too. But listen to it. We might go a minute late. I'll let T know as we're going through. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get in the boat, go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, be not afraid." Okay, now watch. Peter replied, "If that's you, tell me to come down to the water." "Come," he said. And Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Two big keys there. They were afraid when they saw Jesus walking on the water, and Peter was afraid when he saw the winds. And basically what you see is that big determiner, or what you think you see is that big determiner as to how you respond, which is why the scripture says we should walk by faith and not by sight. Listen to this statement. This will just blow your mind. When you and I walk in fear, it shuts down the ability for us to see the divine. They couldn't tell that it was Jesus because they were afraid. They thought it was a ghost. That's the first thing. The second thing is that fear shuts down our ability to walk on top of the water and makes us sink. And that's what happened to Peter. He saw, he was like, "Okay, if it's you, let me come out there." He comes out there. When he got out of the boat, he walked on the water, but he saw the wind and the waves. He saw all the activity that was taking place, and he sank. And my point in making this point is simply that when we operate in fear, we shut down the ability to see the divine, and we shut down the ability to walk on top of water. We sink in our own existence. Isn't that cool? I mean, just think about that. Well, that's a good point. Yes, it's a good point. We're going to take our break and come back. So much to go through. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I'm so happy I'm in Texas and not California. I know you guys are thinking, well, it's hot here. I will take warmer and normal anytime. There's just not even a question about that. Of course, you know, if the Lord in the next 30 or 40 years brings me back to California, you know, I'll just have to humble myself and eat my words. But maybe right now I'm not going to do that. Okay. All right. Here's the next trivia question. I'm honest. Who sold his birthright for a bowl of soup? Okay. Who sold his birthright for a bowl of soup? Soup. You got to think. The only way you can think of this is, good. Good. That's what Campbell's soup is. Good. Okay. A plug for Campbell's soup, I guess. I don't know. Who sold his birthright for a bowl of soup? No, I say that again. I'm going to start thinking of Seinfeld, and then it's going to go off the rails completely. You can call us 972-445-0770. Somebody's already calling it. That didn't take long. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. If you get a text, you better hurry because somebody's already calling with the answer. That's a pretty good one, though. Good. Good. You guys remember that? I remember that. I'll have to remind you, just because this person's on the one of the funniest commercials. I don't know if you guys ever saw. It's a soup commercial, and it's a light bulb commercial. And the guy's talking to his wife, and the wife goes, "When are you gonna change the light bulbs? Whenever the lights off, you always fall asleep." And the light burns out, and he falls his face into a bowl of soup, and then you hear, and he's snoring in the soup. It's really funny. Anyway, is somebody ready? This is my life. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I was thinking about these commercials. I just don't know what the deal is with me today, but I was thinking about that. I don't know if you remember. It's a long commercial, long ago. It's just all based on this guy. When the light goes off, he falls asleep. And then the light burns out, and his face smashes into the soup, and then all you hear is him snoring in the soup.
I don't remember it. But
it's so classic.
That's funny.
I'm one of those weird people that remember that, and remember the Rice Krispies commercial where the guy goes, "There's no more Rice Krispies." I mean, it's just so funny.
Yeah, kind of. I do remember that one, kind
of. All right. Who sold his birthright for a bowl of soup?
Well, I believe it was Esau.
That is correct, Amundo.
Yay.
Excellent job, Genesis 25, 29 through 34. Excellent job. I knew you'd get that. That's a good one. So great job on that.
Well, you know, I wanted to say that it was so good to hear Ronnie's voice yesterday.
Wasn't it? Yes, it was. I'm so glad you said that.
I've been wondering what happened. He always knew all the answers to the trivia questions. And so I just wanted to make that statement anyway.
Beautiful. I'm so happy you did. That's so nice that you said that. It just shows the Christian community that we have going on here. And that's right. It was great to hear his voice. I was so blessed to hear it. I'm so glad you said that as well.
That's all fantastic. Right. Well, y'all have a good afternoon.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, sweet. That's so sweet. That's just, that's the stuff I love. Okay. All the theologies in the world. That right there, that's worth about 60 volumes of theology. Good job, Deborah. Good job. All right. Let me go into this next portion here. We got to do history. I did forget history, didn't I?
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
This is how you know you're getting older. When the piece of paper is right in front of you, and then you forget to do it. It's like I said something to Noelle the other day. She goes, "Isn't it grand?" Like, no, sometimes not so much. All right, here's the history. Today is a couple of funny ones, a couple of interesting ones. Today is Let It Go Day, so I'm just going to let that go. Let it go. What do you do about spilt milk? Nothing. It's spilt. Unless you got a fast straw, there's just not much you can do about it. National Pecan Sandies Day. Okay, I like that. I'm good for that. National Hydration Day, which is a nice way of saying drink plenty of fluids, which in Texas is a good idea. Typewriter Day. I'm sorry, do they still have typewriters? They don't do typing class anymore, do they? It's not like quite the same, is it?
Not that I think.
Yeah, that's way.
I've always wanted the old school type.
Yeah, do you like? I like it when it goes ding, ding. That's the one thing I miss. And then Pink Flamingo Day. Have you ever driven by a yard and saw a pink flamingo? So, even if they don't live in Miami. See, that's good from Miami Vice days, if you guys remember that. All right, on this day, 1846, the saxophone was patented by Belgian instrument maker Adolf Sax. Now, if you're going to make an instrument, you might as well name it after yourself. The only thing I could have come close to was the gazoo. The spoon gazoo would be the only, like, you know, that's it. Never mind. 1950, the Yankees and the Tigers combined for a total of 11 home runs in a single baseball game. That's back when it was interesting. 1989, the movie Batman was released. That's the one with Michael Keaton. Yes, that is a good one. Sorry. And then 1951 was when they first released the FBI 10 Most Wanted list. Let's see if you guys remember the FBI show. Remember? The FBI with Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. That was a classic. All right, we did that. We're all set there. You're good there. We're good there. Calls in, answers to trivia, covered. Okay. All right, we've got a few minutes. If you need to take a break, that's fine. Here, this is the part I want to remind you of, okay? 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Three things that are really important in that. Power, which means that we have the ability that comes through the Holy Spirit, right? Love, because that reflects Jesus Christ. A sound mind reflects the Father as he's declared the truth and all truth. And we're supposed to have all three of those, power, love, and a sound mind, right? Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, supposed to have a triune relationship with God, supposed to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son. All those are in Scripture. No point in, you know, bouncing up and down on it. But what we do is we miss that it's not the Lord that's given us this fear, this terror, this deep freaking out. It comes from somewhere else. Most of the time, it comes from Satan. And if it's not coming from Satan, it comes from the world. And if it's not coming from the world, let's just be honest, it's coming from your flesh. I mean, you're either getting this from Satan, you're getting this from the world system, or you're getting this from the old you. Those are the three biggies, right? The unholy trinity, so to speak. I'm not talking about revelation. I'm talking about understanding that those are the three entities, your flesh, the old you, crucified positionally, practically, you're still moving away from it, the enemy who hates you with all that he is, and the world system, which is anti-Christ, and because you are a Christian, it hates you. Right? It's not even the people in the world. It's the system of the world. And fear is something God has not given us. He's not poured upon us. He's not said, I want you to walk this world trembling in horror and never use faith. See? That's an important point to understand, to grasp. Jesus, in teaching about fear, said this when he did the parable of the man who went on a long journey and he gave five talents or five bags or whatever it is to one servant, two bags to another, and one to another. The guy who had five said, yep, here you go. I had five, and here's five more. Master said, great job. Well done. Good servant. Way to go. Good job. Same thing happened with the guy who got two. What does that tell you right there? Even though it's a parable, not everybody has the same amount of everything everywhere, okay? This whole, we've all been created equal, is only true in the sense that God's opportunity for you to be responding to his gospel is your opportunity. However, when I was born, I was 8 pounds, 6 ounces. My son was 7 pounds, 14 ounces. We were not born equal. That's the easiest way to say that. We didn't even weigh the same. He had different color hair than I did. I'm just making a point, so if you want to really get into that. But the guy with the 5 did great. The guy with the 2 did great. Here's the guy with the 1. The guy with the 1, the man who had received 1 bag, came as a master. I know you're a hard man, harvesting where you've not sowed and gathering where you've not scattered seed. I was afraid, and I went and hid your gold in the ground. What did he do? He hid it. Why did he hide it? He was afraid. Fear not only shuts down our ability to see the divine, not only shuts down our ability to walk on top of the water, but fear is an immobilizer. It quenches us. It stops us from doing anything, and it makes us bury stuff. You know, have you ever noticed that when one time you really did think, I think I could witness to this person, what happens? Oh, it's natural to be afraid, or it's supernatural to make you even more fearful so you won't share about Jesus. Aha! You think, well, is that true? Yes. Yes, it's true. That's what the enemy does. You think, well, it's so subtle. Yeah, well, it's not like the enemy comes and knocks on your door and goes, hi, I'm Satan. I'm here to mess up your life. Can I sit on your couch for a while and have a Kool-Aid? I mean, that's not what's happening. So you got to be aware of those subtle introductions, those subtle thoughts. Remember, he entered thoughts into the heart of Judas. I mean, this is a big deal. And that fear, that terror, that expectation of yuck, isn't from God. So you've got to identify it's either from the world, from your flesh, or from Satan. And then you got to take your stand. All right, we'll take our break and come back. So much more. It's unbelievable. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, yeah. La, 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 la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not... completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth. We got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough. Because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces.
By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the tree, and I've got the act up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okie dokie. Here you go. Last trivia question. Last trivia question. Last one. Who was on a ship with 275 passengers who fasted for 14 days? Who was on a ship? Can't really call it a boat. You got to call it a ship because 275 passengers, that's a lot. And it was fasted for 14 days. Your only hint on this one, it's in Acts 27. Acts 27. That should be a big hint for many of you. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770 or... you can text in 214-210-8483, as people are doing right now. In the meantime, let's do our word. This will be a Greek word, so let's have our Greek music go. Baklava. Okay. I don't care. I think it's funny. This is John chapter 9. I'm going to read you this verse. Jesus answered. Actually, let me back it up because I think it's worth the text to know it. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him." The word we're looking at is works. Works. So three times in two verses, the word works is used. It's ergon. Ergon. Works. Listen to this. It means energy or urge, toil, occupation, enterprise, deed, task, accomplishment, employment, performance, work, labor, course of action. Jesus said, "I must work the works," the energy and the urge and the toil and the enterprise and the deed is ergon in the Greek. Okay? Okay. 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 Somebody ready to answer on the trivia? Do we have that? Okay. I'm leaning over now. Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you? How you feeling?
I'm doing fairly well today. Much better than yesterday.
Glad to hear that.
Praise the Lord. I wasn't well yesterday.
Well, I'm glad you're doing better today. That's good news.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. All right. Now, here you go. Who was on the ship with 275 passengers who fasted for 14 days? Who was that?
Paul.
That is correct! The Apostle Paul is the correct answer. Good job there. That's in Acts, for those that are trying to kind of track that down. We want to make sure you have that opportunity. And that would be Acts chapter 27, verse 33.
Yeah.
Acts 27, yes. 33. Good job,
Mary. And that shipwreck.
Yep, it did, but nobody was lost, right? Isn't that a great story?
Nobody lost their life on that ship.
That's right.
Nobody.
That's right. The promises of God, huh? They're sure and amen. Excellent job, Mary. Thank you so much. You did great.
Did you say John 9? Are you in John 9?
No. Well, you're talking about for the trivia or for what I'm teaching on?
No, what you're speaking on right now.
Oh, no, I just talked about John 9 for the Greek word. For the Greek word, we just moved over to John 9. That's okay. That's okay.
Okay.
We're going back into some other texts right now.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Lord bless you, and I'll be listening.
All right. Thank you, Mary. God bless you.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Mary coming in with a closer. Good job by Mary. I do want to point out that Eric said if it, the answer wasn't Paul, that it was Ben-Hur.
That's the chariot racer. He was the guy on the ship. That's funny.
All right, let's just answer some of these questions before I lose it all together. And I only have 7 minutes to do that. So we've been talking about fear. There's a good fear in the sense of awe, respect, appreciation, reverence. That's the fear of the Lord. Then there's this bad fear, expectation of terror, evil, disaster. Too many of us are keeping the wrong one. We talked about Luke 1, 69-74, where it says that we are not supposed to – we're supposed to actually serve the Lord without fear. That's how we're supposed to serve the Lord. And so and it's important for us to catch or to understand – that fear and that bad fear, that faith in the wrong direction, shuts down our ability to see the divine and shuts down our ability to walk on top of the water. This kind of does both. And then in Matthew 25, we looked at that and found out that fear made that way in that story that Jesus told was an immobilizer. It's a quencher in life. It stopped the person from doing anything. And that's what fear often does. It kind of freezes you in your tracks. Now I just want to give some quick brief scriptural responses to fear that we should be using. Okay, just as simple and straightforward as can be. Psalm 23, verse 4. You can't get a psalm that's more popular than Psalm 23. It's the number one psalm of all time in sense of popularity, read, spoken, even to some degree, commentaries on and so on. It says this: even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I know it's old story, it's old school, and you've heard it before, but you'll hear it all the way until you hear the trumpet blow and we return, and the Lord comes back and gets us. The basis of not walking or operating in fear starts with a decision. Okay, even though I walk through the valley or the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's a decision there. I have made the decision. I'm not going to be afraid. Even though I'm walking through death's door, I'm not going to be afraid. That's what David said. So it starts with a decision. The next thing that it comes encounters is Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome in their way of life and imitate their faith. The understanding, though, in the passage is, it says, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. What? Because the Lord is my helper. What is anybody going to do that's going to overshadow what God can do? What's anybody going to say or going to think or going to process that's going to be greater than that which God does? There's nothing, nowhere, anyhow, anyway, that's greater than God, period. And if the Lord is our helper, we don't need to be afraid. You know that passage in Romans? Now, this is not what it says, but so give me a moment here. But it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And then I always add when I teach it, and who cares? Because it's like, if God is for you, if God is your helper, okay. And that's the truth. And you know what breaks apart fear, which is a lot of dark and speculative and da-da? The truth. The truth is God is with us. He's my helper. I'm not afraid. Same thing, not just in Hebrews 13:5, Deuteronomy 31:6. He's with us. I don't have to be afraid. And then when you get to that point and you're kind of struggling in it, and people do, then the other thing you could do is Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. If you're not standing in the decision and you're not using the truth to get to that point, then come to the Lord and say, I'm having a hard time. I'm afraid of this. I know I shouldn't be afraid. I don't know why it's getting the best of me. Be honest. Don't be weird. Just be honest. Seek the Lord. Say, for some reason, this thing's just getting the best of me, Lord. It's catching me by surprise. I don't know what. I tell that to Noel all the time. There's times where I'll sit there and I'll say, you know, this thing caught me. I didn't even see it. It's not like the Lord didn't see it. And so we come to the Lord and say, deliver me. Get me out of this. Deliver me from the evil one. Deliver me from these things. Sometimes we need the Lord just to go, bing. That's cool. But these are three things that we can utilize. Tools is what I'm really hoping. I'm not trying to give you a formula at all. I'm so sick of formulas. There's a joke in there, but I'm not going to tell it. So the bottom line is this. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. It starts with a decision. Hebrews 13:6, we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Why? The Lord is my helper. I mean, I got God. I'm on my side. I mean, I don't do everything perfect. I don't do everything right. I don't say everything right. I don't think everything right. I don't walk everything right. But I do have this one thing, God who loves me. And has poured his grace upon me, unmerited favor. And that gives me the ability to put up with whatever. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he answered me, deliver me from all my fears. Sometimes I just, you know what, Lord, it's just so far beyond me. You know what? Bam, take care of it. And I'm not saying you giving God orders. It's just asking him or laying it before him. And just, it's deliver me. I need this deliverance. I can't do it any other way. And there's nothing wrong with any of those three, or all three of those, or two of those three. Doesn't matter. It's all good. Just be forward about it. Just be honest about it. Just be true. Just be straight before the Lord. You don't think he knows? I mean, here, let me help you out. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. So what's going on in you? God knows. That's great to know. Oh, my, that's good right there. Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, living inside you. Good to know. Don't really need to be afraid, do I? Not really. We do it. We just don't need to do it. All right. All right. That's enough of my rant and rave. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Destroying everyone and everything we fight, he's the hungry giant.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.